John 3, chapter 3, Big John, the Gospel of John. All right. If you're born twice, oh, could I get somebody to bring 7 chairs? If you're born twice, you die once. If you're born once, you die twice.
I'm going to pull this back.
Okay. So, yeah, just line them up just across the front here. 3 and 3. 3 kind of in one clump and 3 in another.
How many chairs did you
want? 7.
I'm no math major.
Yeah. First there's 1, then there's 2, then there's 3, then there's 3. And then there's one more.
It's going to be a good teaching.
Yeah. All right. So 2 births, 1 death. 2 births, 1 death. Your first birth is natural. Everybody's born naturally. Your second birth is spiritual. Not everybody is born spiritually. In fact, just a remnant, not the whole cloth. So most people will perish as soon as they die, and they die twice. They die biologically, then they die spiritually because they didn't take advantage of the offer. So an offer has been made, and if you take the offer, you can't work for it. You absolutely can't work for it. You have to be chair one, which is wicked. Now, I know some of you it's obvious, but for others who... you're not sure if you're wicked. God's view of you is different than your view of you. Yeah. God's view of you is totally different than your view, so you don't get to decide what wicked is. So a lot of people think they can fool God with chair number 2. But chair number 2 is... just chair number 1 with a mask. So chair number 1, this is wicked. This is everybody's born this way. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so everybody is born in chair 1. But most people try to fake it and pretend like they're moral or they're nice or they're civil or they're a mason or some wonderful thing that that they have to boast on. But God wants you to repent of those 2 chairs. Now, not everybody leaves this chair. There are a few people in the world, and I'm one of them, who's always been wicked, and I always will be wicked, and I've never thought of behaving myself one time, ever. Peggy can tell you that. If she's here, she can say amen. So I never have behaved, ever. I'm just, you know, I just am me. Whatever I am, if God doesn't do it, I did it. That's it. So anything apart from faith, sin. That's why Monty and I get along well, because he's also just as wicked as I am. And I appreciate that deeply. Thank you. It's good. I'm sorry. I feel sorry for you, but, you know, it's okay. Because he's real. So number 1 chair is who everybody is, and that's the only chair God loves. God does not love chair 2. He does not love chair 2. Why? Because there is no such thing as chair 2. It's just fake. All your dead works are dead. Everything that the flesh does is dead. So if you're born of the flesh, born of women, if you're born of the flesh, then you're flesh. We're going to read that in a second. That's what it says. If you're born of the flesh, you are flesh, period. And everything you do is flesh, meaning it's dead. It has no eternal life. It's just dead. So today we want to look at the word eternal life. Zoein aionios. Aionios. Zoein aionios. So life eternal. Life enduring. Life that never quits. It doesn't stop with this world. It keeps going on. So that's why I said if you're born twice, you die once. You just die biologically, but you never die spiritually because you can't. If you have eternal life in you, You can't die. Now that is a gift. It cannot be earned. So no matter how high you get, man at his worst is chair one, man at his best is chair two, that's a vanity chair. Total vanity. That chair doesn't exist. I know most people believe it does, and most people are confident that they are not perfect, but they're good enough. You're wrong. Your thoughts are not his thoughts. Your ways are not his ways. Your way of measuring is not his way of measuring. So God sees all of us as either born again or not born again. That's it. That's all there's to it. You either are chair 4, 5, and 6, or you're chair 1, 2, and 3. I mean, it doesn't matter which one you are. You're over there. Now, chair 3 happens to be repent of those two chairs, either one or the other or both. Some people are wicked and also fake, phony, a contradiction. In other words, you're pretending because of civilization, you're pretending because of society that you're nice. And you behave yourself when you're out in public, but when you get home into your own family, your true self comes out. How many know when you marry somebody, you are marrying a sinful person? When you marry someone, you're marrying a sinful person. So stop being shocked. I can't believe she did that, or I can't believe he did that. It's like, what do you mean? Who did you think you married? Jesus? You know, you just married a person. That's all. So Christians are phony and fake when they sit in chair 2. And here's the thing about chair 2 that you might not know. Chair 2 is force. When you're chair 2, you are suppressing or forcing or coercing. You're putting violence together with religion. And that is what Muslims are doing today. If you're not a Muslim, you know, you either pay tribute and, you know, say you're a Muslim on the outside, or you can remain your own religion, as long as you pay 20% or some kind of thing. Or you get your head chopped off, period. That's force. That's violence. That's what's wrong with religion today. And it's wrong. The Catholics did it. That was wrong. The Protestants have done it. That's wrong. And it's now wrong with the Muslims to do it. And the Hindus are now doing it in India. They're killing Christians now right and left, burning their churches. Yesterday we saw not only pictures of beheadings and so on and so forth, but we saw actual filmage of people being killed and their blood pouring out of their neck, and you can just see it all, and they do all kinds of horrid things. And so we saw it. But there are millions of people now being slaughtered, millions of people being slaughtered around the world. And it'll continue. It's not going to go away. So whenever you put violence together with religion, you are not building the kingdom of God. That's all. It's not religion. That is false religion, which is dead, nothing, not real, idolatry. So God hates idolatry because it leads to that. But why are Christians also idolatrous? Why are Christians also lukewarm? Why are Christians also pretending that they're not sinners when they are? Because in chair 4, you could think, because I believe, then I am a Christian. And you may well be. You may well be. It's not mine to judge, because God judges the heart. So here I am believing that I'm not 1 and 2, but I actually could be a 2 and sitting here, because you could actually be born again and yet not go on and take up your own cross. That would be here. Here I would be submitting to God. Here I'm just believing that God is good and that he died for me. Here I'm going to die. Here I'm going to die to my old self. I'm not going to listen to my mind, to my will, to my emotions. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. This chair 5 is the one Christians hate, and it's why they'll fall back into chair 2 or 1. You will completely, if you don't go on from chair 4 to chair 5, you're going to fall back into 1 or 2. You'll either be licentious again, which many Christians are, or you're going to be legalistic, which is, you know, well, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm good enough. No, you're not good enough. Unless you're perfect, you are not good enough. Under the law of God, God has his law, you have to be perfect as I am perfect, he says. Or you have to be holy as I am holy. Or you have to be exactly like I am, or you're not one of mine, and you're not coming to my Father's house. You're not going to go home. So he will not accept anyone who isn't perfect. So 1 and 2 don't make it. So it doesn't matter which one you are. It doesn't make any difference at all. They're both evil. Why? Because they're both dead. Why? Because they aren't alive. Why? Because you never took the gift that he gave. Now, he didn't give it to you in nature. So nature doesn't give you eternal life. It gives you bios. Bios is biology. It just means you have existence. You have existence. But you could never choose to be a Christian in chair one or two. It's not even possible. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't understand it. You can't want it. You can't do it. There's no way you can become chair four. Now, the only one that could go to chair four is one. You'd have to be a rotten, no good person. Amen. This is exciting. Don't you love this? You'd have to be rotten and no good. And some of you are definitely in that category. Can you think of anybody in your role? Can you think of anybody in your role? And you know, some people do it occasionally. It's really obvious with some people that you know that they're nasty at times. Has anyone here ever slipped up? You know, you just slipped up and your true self came out, which was chair one. And people realize, whoa, you're a Sunday school teacher? You know, you claim to be a Christian? You're a hypocrite. You know, every once in a while that comes out. It's actually just what you always have been, but you just took your mask off for a few minutes. Amen? So it's a masquerade. And Christians are the best at it. Oh, they are so awesome. They are so awesome. And so if you have the true religion, that would be 4, 5, and 6. If you have the true religion, then you don't need force. As a matter of fact, you can't have force. As a matter of fact, there is no force. If you have the truth, you don't need to force it. Because the truth is a person. So your life is not your life. McCray, that's sinful. That McCray, he's awesome. He's awesome. He doesn't know where he is. You can tell he has no social skills at all. Chair one. That is a chair one. So he's not going to make it unless God, except God. Now see, God actually gets to decide who's going to do what. And so if you're born of the flesh, you can't make it. There's no way you can make it. But here in chair four, he actually offers to you to repent. Now, repent in the Hebrew is racham, and in the Greek it's metanoia. Meta means change, and noia means mind, change of mind. But in the Hebrew, it doesn't say that. In the Hebrew, it says, change your mind in the direction of comfort, relax, rest, cease from all your works, labor. Come unto me, all that labor are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Now, so number four is not a works chair. Works would be six. Number four is not a works chair. It's pure faith. It's just, I believe that Jesus is good. I believe that God is good, and I believe I'm not. I'm not good whether I'm over here, man at his worst state, that's me, or man at his best state, vanity, nothing, zero. So this chair is the same as this chair. I could pile them together because they're just the same chair. So I put them together. There. Now, this chair doesn't make any difference, but we make all the difference in the world. This guy is religious, and this guy is wicked. And God knows those categories, but he doesn't consider those categories the way you do. He considers this. Hello? Ah. All right. So God saw that I was wicked right there. Dave, am I going to do this right? Did I ruin it? I'm not good at these things. No. I'm not going to get it. Save me. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So God wants you to skip the difference between good and evil up here. Remember he said don't eat of the tree? He meant that. He meant don't you ever say you know what good is or you know what evil is. You always lean not to your own understanding. You acknowledge me. You come to me. You seek me daily, continually, constantly. Because what you think is good is evil. And what you think is evil is good. Because God only loves those that are chair one. Take it off. God is good. Now, born once, you die twice. So if you're born in chair number one, you'll die biologically, then you'll die spiritually. Both. Second death. So, but if you're born twice, chair four, second, born from above, anothen. Anothen means not born again. It means born from above. But of course, it is born again because you were born biologically of water and now you're born of spirit. And that which is of the flesh, water, that is flesh and it'll die. It'll live for a while and then it'll perish. Or it won't even be born. It often happens that way. So that one is not eternal life. But this one in four, when you're born again, you live forever. It's unending. You live through whatever worlds and ages there are. You do not die. You cannot. Why? Because you didn't do anything. But he did everything. So only God is good. You're not good. So there couldn't be a chair two. Chair two doesn't even exist. There is no such thing that man is good. Oh, in this world, we call it good. When someone behaves themselves, as everybody here is doing, then they call it as good. We had a nice church today. People were friendly. People smiled. And so on and so forth. When they went out in the parking lot, of course, it was different. But still, while they were here, everybody behaved. So we count that. And that you can't even do business if you don't have those kind of arrangements. So everybody agrees to that. But when you get married to somebody and it's intimate and it's close, you see their worst side. You see their evil side. And chair one comes out, even if you try to hide it. And you can. You can hide it for years, but it'll come out sooner or later. In my case, it came out within, you know, an hour or so. But in other people's case, yeah, I just can't last that long. I have to just be me. Because to me, you are what you are. What is. And so I didn't believe in God, and I didn't care about God, and I wasn't afraid of God, and I wasn't motivated by God, so I didn't want to go to heaven, and I didn't want to avoid hell. I didn't care about those categories. I just wanted to live this life for the fullest, to the hilt. Yahoo! Anybody else liketh unto me? That I was going straight for hell, but I didn't care. I mean, to me, that was a way off or whatever. You know, young people, they don't think they're going to die anyway. It's going to live and live and live and postpone everything. Just postpone it. Hey, I'm having fun right now. Who cares? Yahoo! And so I was always a happy-go-lucky, you know, don't really care. I don't have anything to live for or against. I'm just living. Taking everything I can get. Has anybody ever else had that idea, had that thought, had that concept? Well, I had the reality. I went for it. And when I had my Harvard scholarship and my Yale scholarship and my Aberdeen, Scotland scholarship and my Heidelberg, Germany scholarships, I was in hog heaven. And I had more. But I could go anywhere I wanted, anywhere. And I did that from cheating. That's amazing. Isn't that amazing what you can get away with? So I was a cheater and a liar and a thief and everything else. But I did well. How many know crime pays? No matter what you've heard, it pays. And I saw that in my hometown. But anyway, so the point is that I was living a completely vain, empty, frivolous life, but I never lied to myself. I never thought, I never, ever, 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 ever had any thought that I was a good person. I always knew that I lied and cheated. I did it deliberately. I did it consciously. I practiced it. I was just awesome at it. I used to look in the mirror, and like Adolf Hitler, you know, practice how to look innocent after you've just done something horrible, you know. And what? Yeah, no. So, I was just so gifted. I was such an actor. Is anyone else an actor here? You know, just an automatic actor. Judy, I knew you were. I knew it. Yeah, all of it. It's good, David. I love it. It's good. I love it. And so is there anyone else here that wants to admit that you act? You're not the real thing. You're a phony and a fake. And yet God visited me in Yale, and he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now, that's a scripture. But that's a philosophical scripture also. I mean, I had written a paper on that. And here then he comes to the window and sort of says, that paper you wrote, that's who you are. Well, I knew it was who I was intellectually, but I'd never was cut to the quick. I never believed in God. So that was the first time God ever met me and talked to me. Came to Yale. I don't think he'd ever been to Yale, maybe in the beginning, because they were very liberal there. But on that day he came and saw me a complete evil person. I mean, without question. I was proud of that. I wasn't at all feeling bad about that. Just one thing, I don't want to get caught, because that takes away your ability to sin. If they lock you up into a small confined thing or whatever, you don't have the ability then to sin as much. So now that's probably not true, but nevertheless, I wanted all my options. I wanted all my options. That's why I wanted to have 7 degrees so I could, you know, outstrip almost everybody else. Later I found out some people have 20 and 30, so I'd have probably had to stay in school. I'd still be in school today. I was going to do them 2 at a time, and so 2 PhDs at a time. That was my goal. And I knew how to do it, and I loved doing it. So it wasn't impossible. It wasn't beyond my reach at all. But all of that was vanity, God said. So, you know, I wasn't in chair 2 vanity. I was in chair 1 thinking something that even an evil person can't do. Even wickedness has a limit. I mean, no, God. God's your limit. You just run into God one day. He can just crush you, cut you off at the knees. Amen? So that happened the day that he visited there and told me the truth. I did not know the truth, but that day he told me the truth. I don't mean intellectually. I mean really, existentially, from the gut, from down inside. Jim, you are worthless. You are no good. You are vain. You are empty. You didn't take my name in vain. You didn't take my name at all. I wasn't saying I was a Christian. I never said I was a Christian. I knew I wasn't a Christian. So that was not a surprise. I just wanted to be a pastor because you get paid for 1 hour a week. I mean, that was an awesome job. Can you not imagine? You get paid for just an hour's work. And as a Lutheran, I was a Lutheran, you just read it out of a book. Kyrie eleison, and then you got paid. It's like awesome. Eric remembers all that. That was awesome. And they paid me. I couldn't believe it. And the rest of the week, I could do whatever I wanted to do. Yahoo! That's a great job. Better than oil well. Better. However, one day I got up and told them, look, I don't believe any of this stuff. None of it. None of it. Never have, never will, probably. But just thought I should give you a chance, let you know you can fire me or you can depart. If you fire me, then I have to depart. So here's a good idea right here. You can keep me and have somebody that's not going to lie anymore. So I'm not going to go through all the stuff anymore because I don't believe in it. And I'm tired of lying. I'm tired of it. I've been here for a year. I was only 1 year into the ministry. And already it was going to be over. It's like, this is the end of this. So you want to get out? I got a list of churches you can go to that are phony and fake. You'll love them. Or you could stay here. And Harold Taft, he was the weatherman. Harold Taft stood up back of the thing. He used to be, nobody knows this, but he used to be our trumpet player. He played the trumpet. And a lot of people didn't realize that was his love. And so we let him play every week. Whether he was good or not, he played every week. It was great. It was great. And so he stood up and said, I've been a Baptist my whole life. He was at Broadway Baptist down here, very liberal. And he said, I've been a Baptist my whole life. And he said, one thing I like about Pastor Jim, he said, I like him because he's real. I like him because he's honest. He's not a hypocrite and fake. So there you have it. So almost everybody stayed. That's amazing. I was ready to take off, do something fun. You know, I have to work, of course, but I would find a way, no doubt, to get out of work. I don't know if that's a gift of the Holy Spirit or not, laziness. But I had the gift of lazy, or what's the shortest way to, you know, get to the goal. So God has this thing all rigged up where you start out in chair one. Hopefully you don't go to chair two, but most people do. Most people. I say the vast majority are lukewarm Christians in chair two. They know they're not perfect, but they're not worried about it. They don't care. At least they're not chair one. And so they can judge and criticize, look down on and despise others. So that's a great place to be. How many have enjoyed that? Maybe outwardly, but maybe just secretly. Secretly, what's she doing here? You know, I mean, there's just kind of a beauty of that, where you can look at other people and think, you know, she should not be here. Pastor is a fool to make her one of the Sunday school teachers, and so on and so forth. And so a lot of people are sinning even while they're in church worshiping God. Hello? Is this too real? Yeah, people are phonies. Did you know that the whole world knows we're phony? It's only Christians that are, what, me? What did I do? Huh? It's like, well, God says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It sounds to me like there isn't anybody that's anything but chair one, as far as Jesus is concerned, and they killed him because of this. Because he wouldn't say the Jewish people, or now Christian people, or Muslims, or Hindus, or Buddhists, or whoever, are any different than everybody else. That's why when they come out with all this violence, they're just being themselves. So that the whole Catholic Church was built on that. Is, look, if it's good, why don't we force people to do what's good since it's right? And it's just. And it's true. Let's just make them do it for their own good. How many know that's why the Muslim cut your head off? They cut your head off because they think they're defending what's true, what's right, what's good. And their heart knows that's wrong. But their head, because religion is all head, their head says that's what the imam said. That's what the pastor, that's what the priest, that's what whoever said. That this is wrong. You have to hate that person. You have to hate that person. Manipulate, force that person. Give them a chance, of course. But then as soon as they don't agree to it, chop their head off. Just get rid of them because you cleanse the earth. You clean the earth up from all the infidels, the unbelievers. You can see why that's brilliant. Christians did it. Catholics have done it. Everybody's done it because it's a neat way to go. And then Hinduism used to not do it. They were kind of a tolerant of all other religions kind of thing. But recently they've begun having their own kind of jihad, which is not inward struggle. It's an outward force. And they're killing off Christians, burning their churches, mutilating their bodies, you know, doing all kinds of things you can't mention. But God has a peaceable kingdom. He said to Pilate one day, Pilate, my kingdom's not of this world. 4, 5, 6. My kingdom's not 1, 2. That's not my kingdom. My kingdom is 4, 5, and 6. My kingdom's not of this world. If it were, my followers, my Christians, my disciples, they would fight so that I would not be handed over to the Jewish people for you to kill. In other words, I know you're going to kill me. So that's okay. That's a foregone conclusion. I already know. I've read the script. I'm going to die. You're going to kill me. But I know it has nothing to do with all that. I'm just telling you right now, we're a peaceful religion. No one's going to die in my place or for me of my followers. I've taught them to forgive. I've taught them to suffer. I've taught them not fight back. I've taught them to return good for evil. I've taught them that, you know, just be patient, be long-suffering, don't worry about it. God will take care of you. And if you die, hey, you go home early. I mean, you know, going home early is not a bad deal. Woohoo! If I drop dead right now, or if somebody comes and shoots me or something, I'm okay. I'm happy. I'm finished. I finished that a long time ago. I decided a long time ago, this world has nothing in it that I want or need or have to have. I don't want anything anymore. I don't need it. Why? I found the pearl of great price. I got the chair 4, 5, 6. I love it. I love now just loving Peggy. Did you hear what I just said? The church is second to me. Peggy's before you. If a man doesn't love his own wife, how can he love the church? If he can't take care of his own family, you got to start right there at home. That's your first church. So Peggy's everything. So if I neglect you, it's not just because I'm neglectful, which I am. It's not just that. It's also because I'm focused on Peggy, and she's hard. She is harder than anybody here, man. She is the hardest woman in the world, Peg. Tell him. Amen. Amen. So you see what progress we've made so far is the teacher that she's just as wicked as I am, even though she's in chair two. She's beginning to be more and more comfortable. We've got one of those lazy boy chair ones, so she's more and more comfortable being wicked. And she can be wicked at home. I want her to be. I encourage it. You know, I provoke it even. So I love it when she gets it all out on me that it kind of, you know, wears her out. Because I just return good for evil. Whatever she does, oh, I love you. I love you. Keep going. Go for it. Why? Because Jesus did that for me. I'm not just copying him. I've got that eternal life thing in me. It works. So let's look at this word, eternal life. How do you get this eternal life? Because here is a baby, chair one, and they grow up to be an adult and stay that way. Chair two would be people that become socialized, civilized, religiousized, moralized, you know, whatever, Masonic order, you know, whatever. And then God says, repent of all that. Racham. It means, I want you to comfort yourself by not being part of this. Don't listen to your mind, to your will, to your emotions, to your actions, nothing. I want you to not behave yourself and so on and so forth. I hate this because it isn't real, and I hate this because it is real, but I love you. I don't care what you've done or haven't done. You are my beloved. I made you, and I want to remake you, but it's up to you because I never force. I never compel. I never coerce. I never manipulate. I'll just tell you the truth, and if you accept it, great. Then you can repent, and you have to do it. You have to repent means I changed my mind. I now want to be comforted. So you can sit in this comfortable chair here, which is where Jesus does it all, and you do nothing. This is a no-work chair, no-labor chair. Don't change yourself inside, outside, any side. Just as you are. Just as I am without one plea. So you don't have any plea here. Because there's nothing to do. Because all my days, all my works, all my ways are evil. All of them. They're all evil. And so I'm just sitting here and taking all the freebies. I get all the, everything is free. Everything is, God is good. And I worship him here. God, you're so good. If you could forgive a sinner like me, wow. You're awesome. And I get to go home. I get to go to heaven. Where's chair seven? Where is it? Oh, well, there it is. Okay, this is chair seven. This is the prize. This is the inheritance. This is eternity right here. This would be eternal life here. Do you all see this? This is eternal life. You thought it was four. Which is it? Is this eternal life? Now, let's say you don't make it to this chair. This is the fruit. This is the part outwardly that people see. I'm not going to go to heaven, to Father's house, unless I'm a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. Part of the bride. Now, here, in this chair, I still sin because I'm still in this world. But there, I won't be. The millennial throne, and after that, eternity. But to get to there, I have to go through this chair here. In order to bear fruit, I have to build on this foundation, make this house, and then bear this fruit. So this is the fruit of this house, which is filled with the Spirit of God, which starts here on this foundation. What would happen if a man started and built a foundation but didn't have enough resource to finish the tower, the house, the building, the temple, whatever? If you can't finish this, you started out, you're a foolish person. The wise man builds his house on a rock. Well, the rock isn't you. You're the house. The rock is Jesus. What he did, what he does, what he always does. Did you know that God is the only good person in the universe? You have never been good. You will never be good. Chair one is correct. There is no goodness here. So all that we call good is not good in God's sight. God's the one that decides. And so since he does everything, it has to be a gift. It has to be. Salvation is a free gift. It cannot be where you cooperate with God. Well, I'm trying to help God out. Really? How's that working? Well, he's slacking off, but I'm doing pretty good. No, I don't think so. Well, he does most of it, but I help him a little bit. No, I don't think so. He wants to do all of it. He wants to do everything and just give you the finished product. Now, you won't see it in this world. You won't see it till later. You won't see it. And all of this, by the way, is not yet eternity. This is where you are ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. You are the new Jerusalem in the old Jerusalem seated. And for 1,000 years on this earth, we will be living and reigning with him. But the bride, this is the harlot here. This is the harlot. This is you, no good. But this is you, if you're a harlot, you're pretending to be, you won't make it. You cannot make it. This is a dead end. This is dead, dead, dead. This is dead, but it can be made alive through repenting, naham, by believing that I can be comforted, enter into his rest, into his peace, into his ceasing from all my labors and letting him do everything from this moment on. So Peggy can tell you, I have never worked at being a Christian. I've never worked at being a husband, a pastor. I've never worked in my life. I'm not a worker. I'm totally lazy to the bones. Is there anything else like me? Anyone else? One. Two. I think it is a gift of the Holy Spirit. No, it's not. It's not a gift. No, why don't I work? Well, the reason I don't work is because I can't work. I can't do what he can do. Only God can do what God can do. And if God is going to save you, it has to be a gift, 100%. Not just that he starts you on the foundation, but he has to take you through the furnace and the fire and the affliction and the suffering and so on until you learn of him. So here, it's not he who begins, but he who endures to the end. It's not he who begins, but he who endures to the end. So you have to sit in this furnace, and here's one of the things you have to learn. You don't get out of the furnace if you don't learn this. Hallelujah. Praise God for all the troubles. Oh, I love it. So nice. Wonderful. Now, you have to learn to rejoice in the midst of the trouble. When all hell is around you and all wickedness comes out of you and so on and so forth, that's when to rejoice. Because you're in his school now. And here's the thing. The only thing you have to learn here is don't lean to your own understanding. Acknowledge him. Trust him. Submit to him. Now here I just believe in him. But here I actually submit to him. And even though I don't feel like it, I'm going to say, praise the Lord, it's great. Couldn't be better. This is the day. Hey, this is. I'm going to say it. I don't have to feel it. Don't have to understand it. Don't have to want it. I just do it because I ignore my feelings, my thoughts, my desires. I just ignore that. I don't believe in that anymore. Because here I believe in Jesus, and he's the only one that works it out, so I don't have to work it out. So I can go through here to get burned up until I'm dead. Crucify daily. Every single day, my flesh is crucified. Every day. Why? Because I'm tempted to be a Girgashite again. I'm tempted to be a Malachite again. I'm tempted to be a Hivite, a Hittite, etc. So I'm tempted every day to fall back into my old legalism or license, chair one and two. Now, what God wants is don't do anything. Don't help him. Let him do it all. He started it. The good work I began in you, Jesus said, I will surely complete. So he said, I begin it, I keep it going, and I complete it. Where do you fit in? Don't do a thing. How many know that doesn't seem right? That most churches want you to work. They want you to labor. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Why? Because I'll give you rest. All of this is rest. All of this is no work. All of this is cease from your labor. All of this is Shabbat Shalom. Everything up here is a pure gift of God. And it's so good that people don't want to believe it. The point is, try doing it from chair two. Just try doing it. Try to be a good Christian. You're not going to make it. Try not judging and criticizing others. You're not going to make it. There's no way you can do that in the flesh. Yes, you can do it and lie to yourself, but the truth is, you're not a lover. Chair six is all love, 100% love. I don't ever want anything for myself. I only want for Peggy and for the church and for my enemies and everybody else that's out there. How many know you were made in the image and likeness of God originally? But Adam and Eve messed it up for us, so now we're all born now. We're conceived in sin. Everyone's conceived in sin. David said that. He said, I'm conceived in sin. You know, in other words, I'm sinning ever since I'm even thought of. I'm just this big. I'm just this big, and I'm already in sin. I'm already thinking, you know, a little sperm egg thing, just, and I'm already sinning. I can hardly wait till I get out of here, you know, get out of the womb 9 months later. Yeah, I'm out. But how many know when babies come out, they don't help. They don't help out. Mom, I'm here. Rest. I'm going to help you. I'll sleep all the time. Don't worry about a thing. No, those babies are, every one of them is cantankerous. Every one of them is selfish. Every one of them, you know, they're just constantly, you know, provoking, you know. I mean, I just admire every woman. I just can't believe that a woman could get up like that every couple hours. My gosh, I need my sleep. I just can't imagine how a woman could do that. I just admire Peggy so much. And I remember after a few months of that, or whatever it was quite a while, I said, Peg, the baby's crying, and you're not getting up. Well, get up yourself, she said. That was, you know, she wanted me to get up. It's like, Peg, that's not my job. That's not in the book. That's your job. You're the mother. You brought that baby into the world. And so you get up. No, I'm not going to do it. Well, that baby's crying. I can hear it. That is not a real cry anyway. Well, it sounds like one. Well, you get up. So I get up, and I have to solve it because I'm a man. I'm a solver. I solve problems. So I just held the baby like this and was crying, yeah, yeah. And then I just ran down the hall like that, and the baby was going like this. And that baby stopped crying just like that. Petrified. And then I stopped at the end of the hall, and the baby starts crying again. I run back the other way. I said, see, Peg, it's not that hard. Give me the baby. And so that was a good trick on my part, you know. So men don't make good mothers. So I'll always admire women. I just can't believe anyone could do that, to take care of it. But I'm not fixed for it. You see, I'm not able to take care of what that baby needs. Hello? All right. When you're born again, you're totally dependent on mom, which is, in this case, Jesus. You're totally dependent on him. Let him who birthed you. Because we're not male and female now when you're in the spirit. There's no male and female. Spirit. You're not young and old. Spirit. Everything's in the spirit. You see, when you're born of the flesh, you're flesh. That which, in the Greek, very clear, that which is born of the flesh, is born of woman, is flesh. It's dead. It's got no ability to get into heaven. That's what he's saying. That's the way he thinks about it. He's only thinking one thing. I want to marry this woman in chair six. That's all he's thinking. And when he comes back for chair seven, we're married. That's it. That's what he's had his mind in. Not Savior, chair four. Not Lord, chair five. But Bridegroom, chair six. He wants to be the bridegroom that comes back when you're in ready. When the bride is ready, the bride shall make herself ready. When the bride is ready, then he comes back and says, let's get married. And so next week we're going to go down to Houston and marry some people. And so I love marriages. Marriages are fun because there's a lot of joy. It's the last day they'll ever have it, but it's a lot of fun. And they got peanuts and they got cake and they got everything. I mean, it's great. As a pastor, that's what I look forward to. I love doing it. So it's a great thing. I always look for the nuts. You know, they usually have cashews and stuff like that too, not just regular peanuts. I mean, it's good. You'd love it, Norma. Those weddings are fun. So God only has that. I'm thinking just like God. That's what he's thinking too. He's just thinking, you know, this is for my son. Here's his wife. This is going to be a big wedding, and I'm going to have a lot of people. It's going to be so huge. You can't even number the people that are coming. I mean, the tables will be just set out miles and miles and miles. Did you know you can't count them? This is an innumerable host. So there's going to be a lot of people there. I'm going to be there. Of course, you can't sit at the head table. That's one thing you can't do. It's just for the bride and the bridegroom. Ah, wait a minute. We're all part of the bride. Ah, head table. Everything's a head table. I love it. And you get gold plates, no doubt. I'm taking this. That's my old background. When Peggy and I go on a date, I used to steal the silverware from the restaurants. And I'd come out and say, Peg, look at this. We go a few more times, we'll have a whole set. That was the end of it for her. That was the end of it. You take that back right now. I ain't taking it back. It took some cleverness to steal that. And here, I got the salt and pepper, too. And so, I'm sorry, it is funny, but it's not. It's not funny. But Peggy, that was a game stopper. That was right it. That was it right there. You do not steal like that. I do. I do all the time. I just won't tell you next time if that's what you want. But I'm a big stealer. Why pay for those things? These are nice. Did you look at this? So that is evil. All right. So I definitely, a chair one, does not deserve God to love me, does not deserve God to take care of me, to think on me. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Constantly has his thoughts toward me. What are his thoughts? His thoughts toward me are always thoughts of peace, of comfort, of love, even though I'm naughty as all get out. How many know you that God loves sinners? Buddha doesn't. The Hindu, they don't. Nobody else likes sinners. The Muslims, they don't like sinners. They don't like infidels. Our God is the only God that says, no, religion and violence don't belong together. Chair two is out. That's why Jesus was telling Pilate, my people will die before they'll ever pick up a sword to hurt or to further or to make this thing work. That sword doesn't belong with us. We would rather die. Amen? That's chair five. That's chair five, where you take up your cross daily, every single day. You take up your cross. But the enemy is not people out there. The enemy is people in here. The enemy is people in here. That is, all of those, you know, lust and anger and bitterness and jealousy and so on. Those are the enemies that are inside of us that want to rule our lives. Fear wants to dominate, make decisions for us, rather than us making our own decisions based on God's word. Based on God's Holy Spirit. Because as a natural person, you can't come up with good ideas. All religions are built right there in chair two. That's the source of all civilization, is those religions. And Nimrod came up with it right away. He came up with it right away, figured it out. Hey, we'll put the sword together with religion. Whatever is good, Baal, he invented Baal, then that will just force that on everybody. Everybody will be unified. I'll have a unified state and a unified church. And every king since then has been tempted by that. And it's happening in this country too. They're getting rid of Christianity because it doesn't fit the mold. That's why they would rather bring in all other kinds of religions. We'll be out. We won't be a good religion to have. Because we believe that every individual counts. The rest of them don't. The only one that counts is the ruler. And he forces everybody under his state and everybody under his church, period. Do y'all understand what I just said? So it's a big battle. It'd be a big battle right here, because Monty knows anyway. I'm planning to get the church set free by the state, that they'll let the church go. They'll let God's people go. And I've already done this for 18 years, but one of these days I'll prevail. I'll win, or I'll be killed, one or the other. I'm serious, because they don't like that. They don't like that. And, you know, I don't care. I don't have a stake in it. I just believe that if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Free what? Spiritually? Yeah, but spiritual is what it's all about. Yeah, I don't care about the state. I'm not even asking their permission. I'm just free because I'm free because I'm free. Well, then they'll find a way, like they caught Daniel. Oh, he prayed. He didn't obey the law. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. How many know that death is nothing? How many know you die daily? You die daily. How many are ready to go with me? How many are excited about that? You might have to die with me. David, I love it. I love it. Amen. We'll have fun, won't we? You know why? Because Jesus loves us. And so Jesus is not impressed that, you know, we're getting along fine. He wants us to go through this furnace every day. Every day. It's a daily fire. Every day. Turn up the heat. Woohoo! Glory! Turn it up higher. I still got a few jealousies in me and a few angers and so on and so forth. Let's get rid of all the sin. I don't want them ruling and reigning in my life. Every single day we believe. Every single day we repent. Every single day. Now, that's not that repentance. This is a new repentance to get rid of chair two. Anything that you might have left in you, or chair one, whatever you've got, it'll get rid of it. Till you're just here, a bride without spot, wrinkle, blemish, stain, anything tied to this world, completely clean and pure in this world, not in heaven, now. How many know that unless you're bearing fruit, men can't see your good works and give glory to the Father? The reason you're here is not for yourself to get into heaven. You got that in four. The reason you're here is to die to yourself daily. Crucify your flesh daily so that you can then live in love. And you start with your wife. You always start with your wife. The wife is always the most important. The way Jesus treats his wife is the way every man should treat his wife. So, Monty, that means no more selfish. No more setting your own agenda. Everything, everything for your wife. Don't mess up on that. Yeah, probably. Did he already do it? No. That's a good wife. Yeah, he got a good wife. That's good. She's blind as a bat. She can't see. She can't see. She can't see. Because I know him. I know him. Yeah, he's naughty. All right. So here's the thing, is that God blesses sinners. No other God does. That's why they're liars. They're not true. Ours is the only one that's true. It's not just because I am one. I'm just telling you it's the truth. Now, I don't care if anyone believes it. I don't care if anyone believes it. I believe it. And I'm living it. And you can't know because you can't judge my heart. And you can't know my soul. All you can see is my outward behavior. That's all you can judge by. So judge away. Because I'm not trying to please anybody. I'm not working at all. Only Jesus can make me look good. Only Jesus can purify me. Only Jesus can do any one of those things. Nobody else can make a church. This is the church of the living God. Right here. Born from above. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's a dead end. Chair two is a dead end. But this kind of spirit church is not what we have today in the church. We have chair two. It's a lukewarm church. So if you're hot, you're not lukewarm. If you're hot, you're not lukewarm. And the neat thing about hot is there are so few of them, but the neat thing about it is they can make a lukewarm church hot. Now, you can't make lukewarm hot by itself. You certainly can't make it hot by cold. But hot can actually make cold, not lukewarm, but hot. That's the power of hot. Hot can make everything and everybody. That's love. So get hot as a matter of love, first to the Father to worship Him, and then second, and while your worship is, thank you, God, for doing everything. I didn't do anything. Thank you, God, for doing everything. And I praise you, God, for being holy and pure and spotless and forgiving and merciful and kind. And I thank you. And now I can bear all the fruit. Why? Because I didn't do it. Christ in me. That's the hope of glory. So what God wants is a process. He doesn't want a one-time event where you become born again on some date and then, you know, I'm a Christian now. No, you're not. You're just simply beginning. You're just a baby. Then you have to become a young man, young woman. Then you have to become a mature father, mature mother. You have to keep moving until you're all the way gone. And by the time, since it's spiritual, you're neither male nor female. It's over. A Christian is a Christian is a Christian. Equal. No difference. Powerful. So what God is looking for is for His church to reflect His nature. Because it's His. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Chair 2. When you take His name, then His nature is inside of you. You're born of the Spirit. You have a new nature. Chair 4. And therefore, it should produce fruit. That's a new tree. That's a new kind of tree. And that new kind of tree kills you. First thing the Holy Spirit does in chair 5. First thing the Holy Spirit does is kill off your old man. And then He does it every day. And then He does it every day. And then He does it every day. You just continue. You get used to it after a while. He's going to beat me again. Because I will think of my old thought. It'll come back to me. How many know you can fall back in a moment and get angry or frustrated or whatever, and you won't have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, faithfulness, and meekness, and self-control. There they are, nine fruits. Wow, that's exciting. That's chair 6. We haven't produced that yet. Everybody here isn't yet perfect. How many know you're not? You're not. And you know what? You're not going to look like it. But you can be it. You can be it without even looking like it. As a matter of fact, who for the joy that set before him? Here's the joy that set before him. Here's where you're going. You're going to be married. So who for the joy that set before you, we endure the cross. That's what purifies this one right here. Who for the joy that set before him, 4 will endure 5 to get to 6. Who for the joy? If you don't have the prize, if you don't have the inheritance, if you don't have the marriage in mind, you won't go through that. And that's why most of the church is 2. That's why most of the church is 2. Most Christians are just 2. They're just lukewarm. In other words, they're kind of half in the world, half the kingdom, half their own kingdom. They kind of mix it all up. Well, it won't work. It won't work. You have to go all the way with Jesus. You can't put your hand to the plow and then turn to this way. You know, if somebody's outside the field, hey, Jim, what you doing? What? You see, I just got way out of the line. So once you put your hand to the plow, you can't look back. What? You can't do that. Nothing can startle you. That's why you just keep your eyes on Jesus, beholding Him. You are changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory to another. That means all your old man is falling away. That new man is coming forth in Christ. And that's what God's looking for. That's His church. So you say, well, Pastor, what about if we don't do that? What if we are in chair 2? Is there any hope for us? I don't know. All I know is that's not what He said. Well, maybe we could be saved anyway. Possible, I suppose. I don't know. I just don't have any word on it, so I ain't saying. You ain't? No. Can't go beyond what God has said. All I know is what He told us to do. I don't know what you can get away with. I'm not answering that question. If your question is, how much sin can we do and still go to heaven, I don't know about that question. It seems like the question is wrong. Why are you asking that question? Well, it kind of came to me. I see. Okay. Because you just sinned? Yeah. Well, when you sin, He's got words for that. Confess. Because the Holy Ghost is the one, not society, not, you know, religion, not some kind of Masonic thing or whatever. You just need the Holy Ghost. He's the convictor. He's the one that's going to take what is Jesus and apply it to you on a daily basis. So if you don't make it, it's not his fault. It's yours, because he's provided it all. And he's just saying, "Oh, well, did you just sit in chair four and stay there?" Yeah, kind of. Well, you won't. You won't stay there. That is not a stable chair. That chair will not last unless you move on. Let's say you're like the guy that built the foundation, but had not enough to finish the house. You'll never get there. And so I don't know what happens to such a guy. He built a foundation. What for? What did he build the foundation for? Well, I didn't know how much it was going to cost. I'll tell you, since you're not the builder of the foundation, he is. You're just believing. He built it. He doesn't build trash. He doesn't build without thinking the thing through thoroughly. He's provided totally for the building of that whole thing right there. So you have no excuse. You can't say, "Well, you know, I had certain sins. We have anger runs in the family." No. There's no excuses. There's nothing to keep you from being joyful every day. "Well, I know, but we're a morose people. We're just laborers, you know. We've always been Methodist our whole lives." Well, that'll be great. I hope there's room for you in the kingdom, but I don't see it. I'm sorry, I don't see it. It's real clear to me that which is born of the flesh is flesh. I don't believe you'll get into heaven with that flesh. So I don't know if there's a little ante room, as the Catholics say, kind of a little purgatory thing where you can stay about 10,000 or 50,000 or 100,000 years. I don't think so. I think if you do the work, you'd be there a zillion years, because your work isn't going to count. The only thing that gets you into heaven is God's mercy. It's not his law. You can't go to heaven through law. Law will get you to chair two. That's nowhere. That is completely dead. Why did God give the law then? A schoolmaster, that's why, to show you that you're no good. Well, I admit I'm not all the way good, but I think I've done a little bit of good. I think the other day when Alice called, I could have gotten mad at her, but I didn't. I held myself back. That little form of suppression or violence will not get you into the kingdom of God. That's Muslims. They do that. That's Buddhists. Okay, they do that. Other people do it. They have all these kind of deals you have to do and go through and ring bells and lay on nails and silly stuff. I don't believe in that. I'm not good at that stuff. Amen? I'm going in the easy way. I'm going in through this rest way. I'm repenting of all of that. All that man can do, apart from me, you can do nothing. In other words, if it isn't born of faith, chair four, it's sin. That's clear. Is that not clear? Was God not clear? Now, I'm not clearer than God is. I'm just telling you what I'm reading. It's real clear to me. I might be wrong. Maybe I'm making it too easy. Maybe I'm making it too hard. I don't know. That's the way I see it. So go to another church. Get another one who can explain it better. I don't really care. I'm not looking for customers, obviously. I'm not looking for customers. I've lost this whole row. Thank you, Norma. You're the only one in your row. Praise God. Amen. Thank God for that. And Mary, thank you for this chair. You've kept this whole pew. Amen. I love that. Where's your dad? Did we lose him already? All right. God is great. I don't know. This is wonderful. For God so loved the world, not the church. For God so loved the world that he gave. It's a free gift. This eternal life thing is a free gift. He gave his only son, his only begotten son. That means he was the one that he begat. That was one he was the begat. I thought Jesus was God. I thought he was eternal. Yeah, this is not talking about that, Son of God. This is talking about Jesus as Son of Man. As Son of Man, he was begotten of Mary. So God begot him in heaven and sent him down. He had the form of God, but then he took off the form of God, put on the form. He was still God, but he just took off the form. He was no longer using his omniscience and his omnipresence and all that. He was now just a person like we are to show us something. What? How you could do it on this earth and how you didn't. You thought the law was bad. Wait till you see Jesus. He actually didn't have anything going for him except faith in God. Because he was born of the Spirit. Because that's his Spirit. That's his Spirit. And he knew that Spirit would raise him from the dead. Because you can't die when you're a Christian. He was a good Christian. Jesus was a good Christian. That was an oxymoron. Just saying that he's a good Christian. He's Jesus. So he's the measure. He's the measure. He's the likeness. You were born in the image of God, Betzalemnu, our image. Let us create man in our image. All right. They were created in his image, but they failed. They flunked. And in our likeness, kedemutnu, in our likeness. That means not and, although it is an and, that's assumed, but it's according to our likeness. In other words, in the same way that we have this image, we don't look like turtles and frogs. In the same way, man is going to do it according to our likeness, the way we are, just as we are. He'll be perfect like we're perfect. He'll be free like we're free. He'll do everything willingly, like we do everything willingly. You know, in heaven, there's no laws. No laws in heaven. Just like in my family, there's no laws. I have no laws for Peggy. No laws. I can obligate myself, but I will not and cannot, and I don't even try, to obligate Peggy, except humorously. I do that humorously because she has a big sense of guilt in chair two, and that's fun for me to say, Peg, have you done everything right? And she hates me for saying that. Now make sure you don't touch the Lord's anointed. She hates that. But I've worn her down so much that now she's okay. You know, you're right. Thank you. How about that? Isn't that powerful? Thank you. That's good. I forgot. Yeah, you're right. I want to be like you. I want to have the peace you have. I want to have the joy you have. I want to be just like you. I'll tell you, that's a good pastor. Am I not a good pastor? I am. I'm a good pastor. You think that's a pride thing? No, that's just a fact. Why? Because Jesus did it. Amen. Oh, you're looking at my flaws. Oh, well, you know, you're just wasting time so you don't look at yourself. Take your eyes off of me. Don't look at the log in my eye. Look at your own log. You got a big log in your eye. Amen? So I'm easy to hit. It's like, it's so simple. But you know what? Me and Judy, we're the only two. She's even putting her gum away. Thank you. Thank you. Because that's a sin in church, to chew gum. That's a cowboy thing or something, isn't it? No, cowboys don't chew gum. They chew something else, I know. But, all right, so God is good. Everything is good. Do you see, chair number three is the key here. It's always comfort. Everything God has toward you is comfort. He has never once hated you. He will never hate you for all eternity. Even if you choose to go the wrong way, he will not hate you. He will still have loved you because God is love. Unconditional love. And now we are becoming like that. That's good. That's a testimony to God, not to us. That's not a testimony to us. So could God make every one of us pure today? Could God actually get through every one of us, kill our old flesh off in chair five, and then have that new love for the Father, worship, and pure love for brothers and sisters and enemies, and you know who knows what and how, so on? Yeah, God can do that. I mean, no, God's already paid for that. He paid for it. It should be today. Let's do it today. Let's start right now. Who's ready? Why? Because that's Christianity. Christianity, I know it looks hit and miss, but Christianity is just get the truth down. Just hear the truth again. Faith cometh by hearing. Just hear it again and again and again. And if you mess up, come next week. And if you fall asleep, it doesn't matter because I'll just say the same thing next week and the next week and the next week. Why? Really, I'm serious. I don't have any new message. It's just the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love it. I love it. It's good. I love hearing it. I love it. This is good. That's good, Pastor Jim. Yes, thank you. Thank you. That's good. I like it. I like to hear it. I do. We actually, Peggy and I, listen to these tapes over and over again. And I laugh and I have a good time. Why? Because it's all happy. Happy is the man. Happy is the man. That when people despise you, hate you, abuse you, misuse you, you know, speak all kinds of things evil against you, do all kinds of persecute you and so on, rejoice and be glad. Why? Because your redemption draweth nigh. That's the best thing. When you get to chair six, you'll be hated. This world hates that. They hate that because it convicts them. Because that's the light. That's the salt. Four is not the light and the salt. Five is not the light and the salt. Six is. That's the only thing the world sees, is what you act like, not what you talk like and, you know, kind of words come out of your mouth. It has to be something you've done. Well done. Not going to say well believed in four. Not going to say well suffered in five. It's going to say well done. You've done it. You've done it. Why? Because he done it. You didn't done it. You didn't done it. He was just done through you because you were dead to this world, dead to yourself, dead to this world. You know how you got that? Beholding him. You just looked at him and you changed. Beholding him, we are changed from glory to glory. In other words, grace in the place of grace, in the place of grace, in the place of grace. Everything is grace. Grace, grace, grace. Mercy and power. His mercy, his power. You did nothing. You just took it. Take it. The greatest thing you can do is just, I'm taking it. I'm taking it. I'm not going to take it as a chair two nice person. I'm going to take it as a chair one, don't deserve a thing, but I'm taking it anyway. God offered it, I'm taking it. He must know something about me I don't know. He must think highly of me, that his thoughts would always be thinking about me. I love that. Anybody doesn't see that? That's so powerful. Why would God always be thinking about you personally? How can he do it? How can he number all the hairs on your head and know every blade of grass that is green on the other side you can't see? I mean, how does he do that? He knows there's fish in the sea nobody's ever seen. He has all that all rigged up and worked out. I don't know how he does it. You know, when you take a shower, he's counting the hairs that are going down the drain. That guy is awesome. Right up to the second. I mean, that he's got that on his Facebook, I think, with other angels. Did you see that? He just lost 47 hairs. You know, and you know, it's amazing to me that God can count like that so fast, just like that. He's a genius. He is so smart. So he knows everything you're thinking, everything you're saying, everything you're doing, and he loves you. When you despise him and yell at him and scream at him and do everything wrong, he loves you. He always changes good for evil. So we could do that. We could love one another that way. Did you know you can love people that are no good? Did you know that nobody's any good? Only God is good? No one else is good but God. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said that. He said, no one else is good but God. Well, when I'm born again, I'm good. No, you're not. Totally derivative. Totally limp, limp. You are totally in a relationship with him who is good, who's living in you by the Spirit, because now you're a spirit person. And so, of course, you're one with him. So that's why it looks like you're good. But you know it wasn't me. It was him. I was yoked to him. I was married to him. And so he was doing the pulling. And the wife gets all the blessing, and the husband takes all the burden. And Jesus is our husband, and we're his bride. That's it. So every man here needs to stand up and say, that's my job, is to take all the burdens. I want all the wives and the women and so on. I want them to get all the blessing. All right, who'd like to start? Larry, good. Norman, yahoo, praise God. Amen. Yeah, just look around, see if anyone else is doing it. Amen. Check out the ones that are not doing it. They're despised, hated. Obo, are you in on this one? Whatever it is, you're in on it? That's good. You have no idea what you just agreed to. All the women get the blessing. But we're particularly talking about wives. Let the wife, because that's what Jesus is marrying, let the wife get all the blessing. Let the man bear all the burden. The wife doesn't have to see and understand all this. All she needs to know is, you're beloved of God. You're loved unconditionally. I'll put up with anything you say and do. Peggy knows I'll never run away, even when she has a bad utility knife in her hand. I just stand there, and sometimes she gets so angry, you know. It's great. That's why I just sit there and grin, and she hates the grin. She would rather me back away or something, but I just sit there as Peggy. I love you. You're the best. How many know you have to be loved at your worst? You have to be loved when you're at your worst. How many know that's what Jesus did? Amen? Who here isn't worse? Yeah, right. Yeah, don't. Clay, why are you not standing? Amen. That's good. That's good. He's quick. All right. Oboe, let's close in prayer.